This is Jan Cox Talk number 3238, recorded on December 17th, 2004.
First off, I want to touch on something I talked about a couple of weeks ago, but there's been new developments. Television never sleeps. I was pointing out how much a large part of the local news has become interviewing unengaged parties and events they're covering. Plane crashes, house fires, murders, robberies, that the local news, exerting no effort, spending no money, and chasing leads and stuff, now simply stop people. Say, did you hear about the murder? What do you think? And if they didn't hear about it, they go, well, a guy got shot here. What do you think of that? There's been a new development. Well, I just noticed it. Most of the local stations have most of the local on-the-air stations, over-the-air stations, have a network affiliation. Now, you have the local anchorman saying today the president signed a new tax bill. And now we go to Fred Doodleberg, our Fox Network correspondent. And they show him on split screen. And the local anchorman says, Fred, what do you think of the president signing that bill? This doesn't sound like your consciousness at work. They're now asking themselves. You know I'm not loose for predictions. But here's where it's headed. The local news comes on. There's an anchorman. Maybe you got two. To make it sort of interesting. The local man pulls out one of the wire services. Or maybe the New York Times. And he says the headline is, President signs new tax bill. And he lays the paper down. And he says, well, sir, I'll tell you what I think. No middleman whatsoever. House apartment fire leaves 30 families homeless. He reads that. Local story. Lays the paper back down. He says, well, I've always thought if people would get out of apartments and get their own homes, they'd be more careful about smoking and cooking out on the patio, and we would have a lot fewer apartment fires. That's what I think. It goes on for 2 hours. Maybe it goes back and forth from one anchor to the other. Now that is ordinary consciousness working at the height of its fumble bum efficiency. Does everybody remember the puppet show Kukla, Fran, and Ollie? Well, Kukla and Ollie were two hand puppets. Fran was a woman, a live person, standing there in front of this little stage in the early days of TV. Thank you, Kukla. One guy, one puppet on each hand. And we wonder why we're no more awake or even intelligent than we are. I don't Google it. Me either, Ollie. Well, that came as a surprise. Who saw that coming? What I was going to speak of tonight is related to all this, believe it or not. That is, everyone who gets involved with some effort, under whatever name, to awaken, to achieve enlightenment, to accomplish the great liberation. They have one or more important questions. Philosophers used to be part of that game. And periodically, almost everyone plays it. That is, when something catastrophic happens in their life, they may suddenly have one of those great metaphysical questions. But people like us, well, I'm going to talk about everybody, but I was just saying, people like us have, and I'll leave it to you, I'm not going to bother. I could succeed, but I'm not going to bother to make specific examples. But you know that right now, if you were in the presence, if there was a God, and you was in the presence of the big guy, and he says, "Glad to see you. I've got 10 or 15 minutes here. Do you have any questions?" You would have 2 or 3 questions. I was going to say that there is a curious thing about those questions. But the truth is, unless you're out of your routine state of mind, I'm not sure that you will find it curious. It may go zoom over the top of your crew cut. See, if you grew up watching Google Fran and Ollie, you'd still probably be wearing a crew cut. The curious thing I say is that your mind fairly well into life has to create the question. Philosophers and mystics for thousands of years have referred to, quote, the classical metaphysical questions, and oftentimes they will try to list them, number them. But that's not where you got it. Your questions. That's not where anybody gets their questions. Now remember, we're talking about questions having to do with things that have no tangible existence. That's not an assault or criticism of these things. It's a fact. Everybody develops questions. They do not see them. Most people do not develop questions. same way. When you see two kids, two babies, young children, pre-verbal age, playing together, if one grabs a toy from the other may slap it, hit his hand, try to push it. But as far as we know, the kid that reached out to hit his playmate formed no question from the experience. Indeed, life has made man collectively watch children and try and ascertain at what age they start forming metaphysical questions. And it's generally referred to throughout the world as a child's. Well, they're different. I was going to say coming of age. But as we all know, there's some societies that have rituals trying to mark a physical, hormonal, sexual coming of age. But what I'm talking about is until a child can respond to a metaphysical question. That is, let us say that you had twins, and at their preverbal age, they were all the time hitting each other. And as a parent, you tried to stop them. If you had any sense, you knew that the words no had no meaning. You might have believed that the sound of it, the harshness of it, might have some effect. But you feel helpless, more or less, because you don't want to whip the child yourself, because you're sure that he won't get the connection. Because you're not sure that your other child gets the connection of being slapped by the first child when he grabs something. As you know, parents keep talking to children, encouraging them to talk. But when the day comes, when they get any idea that the child can answer a metaphysical question, and surely the basic one, I'll bet you, throughout the world is, and the parents probably ask this weeks or months before they get a response, did twin one is twin two? The parent grabs twin one by the shoulder gently and says, you know that's wrong, don't you? When the child finally responds, yes, that's when a parent starts holding him responsible. But the parent had been telling the child, I don't know, 6 months, 10 months. No, that's bad. Don't do it. Even when they knew the child was nonverbal. And then after he got a little verbal, mommy, daddy, I won't. They still weren't sure that he knew the difference, as adults like to put it. Let's all say it together, between right and wrong. Because until you can talk, you sure as hell don't know the difference. But once the parent can get the child's attention and realizes from the child's response that the child can analyze the words, the metaphysical concept, when the parent says, the child just struck his brother. And the parent says, you know that's wrong. And after saying that 300 times, one day the child says, yeah, yes, Daddy. I can't prove this. I just know it's so. And you can find things going on in your own consciousness that seem unrelated that will support this. But I say to you, the child's consciousness, before the day it answered yes, Daddy, to the question, sometime before that, already could analyze, you know that's wrong, don't you? Don't do that. That's wrong. The child understood what was being said, but wouldn't respond because the child had not, I'm not sure what word to use, the child had not, it's somewhere between created and adopted. It's some mixture of the two. Because you do not invent these questions out of nothing. You pick up pieces and bits. Is my stomach picking up on the mic?
Yeah. No.
I say that the child, everybody's consciousness, through some sort of process, that without a doubt, of course, is based on your genetic temperament. You develop questions. They come from either things you've heard, your parents, adults say, which may be the least of it with ordinary people, and from your experience, your human relationships. Can you remember your original metaphysical question? I'll bet you that I can guess most men's, whether you can remember it or not. I know I'm on the money. Most boys' first metaphysical question, and I'm going to use somebody's name, and you'll have to fill in your own name, not your name, but somebody you knew. The question is, why is Sammy Jones such a jerk? Come to think about it, that may be women's initial metaphysical question. That's based on experience of Sammy Jones making fun of you, making jokes at your expense. He's become the bane of your first grade existence. But you weren't born with that question. And I don't mean just about Sammy Jones. You weren't born with a question. Why is most of humanity jerks? See, it takes a few years to build up to that one. From Sammy Jones to most everybody. That's not being ordinary people. The mystics of history. Our questions are much more transcendental, are they not? Well, never mind. But look how seriously the mystics of the world, the Buddhas, who supposedly spoke at great length about his childhood, how he grew up privileged. And one day, for the first time, I think when he was 12, saw a sick person, got outside the castle, then saw an infirm person, then saw a hungry person, and almost went to pieces. Well, according to him, he immediately had these great, serious, metaphysical questions having to do with justice, suffering. Now those are metaphysical. I know that suffering is real, like being sick. But thinking about being sick, talking about being sick, trying to meditate and reflect on what it means to be sick is metaphysical. I assume you people know that there's a couple of fairly well-known mystical schools in the world that specialize, that invite people who are physically ill and want to awaken to come there, that they want only them, and believe, so they say, that physical illness is a transcendental lesson. The only lesson of being sick is you're fucking sick. That's like people saying, there's a great message to dying. Yeah, you're dead. That dead person's not going to get any more out of the lesson. The metaphysical questions. To focus in on the point I was going to make, which I fear even more so may elude you, no offense intended. I just had to try it. Is don't you find it interesting? If I'm correct, you can check it out inside your own head. That the important, the motivating metaphysical questions you have about existence, you had to formulate after, probably, I'm just guessing, you had to formulate between the ages of 12, maybe 17, if you were a late bloomer, 18. I don't know of a magic number. But the point is, you had to become conscious. That is, you had to become verbal. You became verbal. You didn't suddenly have metaphysical questions. You had to adopt know the difference between right and wrong, young man. And it's like you can't fake it anymore. You have to go, yeah, yeah. And then suffer the consequences. But as far as a true metaphysical question, and of course, in our case, I'm speaking beyond why is Sammy Jones a jerk, that you develop some question, maybe when your parents dies. Maybe you begin to see the injustices in the world. But then you know the term injustice, the concept. But do you not find it interesting that your personal consciousness has to make it up, has to put the right words on it to please you, and you say it to yourself, and once you find it, I guarantee you, you look for somebody immediately to say it aloud to. Because that cements it. Saying it aloud. When and once you say to your close friend or your surviving parent, your father, you say, you know how I've suffered since mom's death. I feel like now the only thing I want out of life is to understand why did such a wonderful person at such a young age have to die. Or it may not have been that dramatic. Wise man asleep. Wise man. Maybe you'd already read something about that by then. Wise man made to believe he is fully conscious when he's not. And you put just the right words together, even though you don't really understand the question. You take it, and it becomes your motivating force in this kind of activity. But do you not find it interesting that something that important you weren't born with, like the natural love you have for your parents or your siblings, something that becomes the core of your life when you think there was in some way instinctive to you. Now, I'm not saying indirectly, it's not instinctive. But you had to get down and do the crude and dirty work of actually making up the question. Perhaps some bits and pieces you had found, but you had to get down there, get your hands dirty, and make up the question. Maybe change it around several times till it fit your thinking. And you went, yes, that's why I'm alive, to answer that question. And you have, within these 2 or 3 seconds, forgotten that you had to make it up. Maybe I'm just feeble-minded. I find that interesting. I find that very interesting.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com to search through 3,000 talks or to leave us a message.